just keep staring. Welcome to another episode of Mountaineer Kingdom Dude Talk. Real men, manly talk. Round two. Should have got a Mac. We are talking about today we're talking about one of the other questions we've seen online about just asking Christians their opinion on it. I might get this out eventually. And today is interesting. We're going to be talking about why and when should Christians get involved in politics. And the short answer to that is always.
Yes.
We've got some elections coming up. Local elections are just, what's all the grinning?
Nothing.
Okay.
Okay, wait. I want to bring up the biggest thing. Just a couple weeks ago.
I thought you were going to tell us that the machine broke again.
Well, it probably did.
Round three.
Wink, wink.
Biggest thing.
A couple weeks ago, the White House magically puts out this, we're going to do this transgender bullcrap day. I don't care that they do it. It says America. It's the land of the free. If you want to have that day, that's great. But could they have not done it on Easter, for goodness sakes? Could the libtards not look in the mirror for one stinking day of their life and go, can we not give the Christians, us, can they not just give us one day to celebrate our Lord and Savior, the day that he rose from? Now, I know that's not the specific day, but that's our day that we celebrate, the day he died on the cross,
The
day he went in the tomb, and then the day he arose.
Well, that whole weekend, really, yeah.
What, can they not give us that? No.
It was totally intentional.
Totally intentional.
They did it on purpose. It was to take away the sanctity.
And yes, Josh, I worked in my word.
You did.
But it's always a good word. That's true. But totally, totally intentional and absurd. And you said them have their day
Easter's
if they want to have their
word,
day.
Yes.
Yeah, Easter.
Yeah.
Not that word. But like you said.
Resurrection.
They actually have 365 days a year. If they want to live that way, they can.
Yeah.
It is America.
It's America.
We don't need to have a day for their visibility. I don't want to see it, first of all. But secondly, if they want to live that way, that's their prerogative. Don't push it so hard to try to convince us. And that's usually a first sign of people knowing that it's not really real when they got to work that hard to push it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's
And I will say, that's what America is all about. Like, do I agree with it? No. And that's my right as an American. I don't have to.
All I know is I'm not pushing for a National Day of Heterosexual Visibility Day.
No.
Because it's the right way to live, and everybody knows
it. The counter argument to that, my wife hates when I do this, but I always like to play devil's advocate in a conversation.
What?
To try to make us talk about
you stir
different
the
sides of it. And
that's a revolutionary idea.
The other side of that argument is, well, you have every other day, right?
You do too.
Just because you're born a white male, and for those not watching this video,
I want to punch you right
did
now.
You just say cis male?
I did to get
on
that
this
response.
Podcast.
It's an interesting response. That we
I'm
get
gonna beat
every
that.
Day,
I'm,
and
I,
it's
wait,
oh,
we're taking
I
a,
triggered him.
We're taking a live vote right now. Who wants me to beep that out?
Why are you screaming?
Who wants me to beep that out? Thank you. That's getting beeped out.
There's a lot of things that get brought up, but that's not true. That it's we never asked for. It's a blessing to be born into this country.
Absolutely.
That is a privilege. I have an
absolutely.
American privilege. You look at a lot of backgrounds coming from the communities that I grew up in, the southern part of West Virginia. Like you, I mean, other than the grace of God and being born in this country, there is no privilege, right? There was nothing handed to any of us, and so there's that counter argument, but. We're not taking away your holy day. We're not taking away days or setting days aside to celebrate whatever you feel you need celebrated. Like I don't have time for that anyways.
That's the beautiful thing of this country, man, is that there's no restriction on the expression of self.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we are a conglomeration of 50 independent nations, essentially, nobody can stop one state from doing anything else. Like, that's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
West Virginia is its own independent entity. Texas is clearly its own country. And the crazy thing and what makes the United States work is that the federal government, in theory, is small, or should be small, and that the states can just look at you and go, okay, guys, we're not going to play your games. But there's a lot of federal incentives that enable those things from happening.
You know what I just learned about Texas? They don't have any power lines running overhead of the whole state of Texas because they are not bound by federal regulations where they get their power from or whatever. They have their own power plants. They regulate their own self. And I think that is awesome. Every state should do that.
The way they do it is that they say, no, the federal government gets states to play games like the interstate system mm-hmm. because of incentives. So if you do this, then the federal government will do this. Right. The child support system is a good function of that. The child support system offers states a financial incentive if the states comply with the child support policy, which, not going down that rabbit trail, but
there's always incentives. You do this, we'll give you that.
But
this,
we as states have the ability to stand up on our own and govern ourselves. The Constitution itself is relatively small. Mm-hmm. And when you read it, the states' rights take the cake on everything. The deference for every law is to the states. It's insane.
Going back to your comment of white privilege, that term really just bothers me because, and again, go back to, you're born in America. Everyone born in America is born with the same rights, same ability to make whatever they want to out of their life. Now, do some people have more advantage because of a wealthier household they live or born into or whatever?
Yeah, you know? Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. There are people that have leg ups, but everyone has the same opportunity to either grow on that or to throw it away. You know, you've seen a lot of wealthy families have children that just throw all that away because of bad choices they make. Meanwhile, you see unwealthy families have their kids grow up to be doctors and lawyers mm-hmm. and all that stuff. So in America, you have the same opportunity no matter what. And I saw this thing the other day. It showed, it's like a side-by-side comparative. White privilege was the only thing written on the right side. And then it had all these other programs that benefited every other nationality, color, and all this stuff. And if you ask me, the more things that you put in to protect the unfortunate, I guess they're trying to say, you're giving them privilege. You know what I mean? Like, one of the things is affirmative action.
Yeah.
I get why they would have come up with affirmative action. I get it.
Well, there's a time and place for everything.
Right.
I think the heart of it was good.
It was the heart of it was good, but now it's being abused mm-hmm. because of now this diversity, inclusion, and equity and all that stuff. Now that person, because of affirmative action and because of is a DEI or DIE, DEI program, diversity, equity, and inclusion, because of that, now the white privilege is automatically pushed out. So where is the fairness factor in that? Now, I thought we had white privilege. Now, because we're white, if anyone else with diversity, equity, or inclusion, they fit in that program, they're the ones going to get the
spot,
the leg up.
Yep.
So yeah. I went to an event this past week, and the first day of the event was incorporating black businesses into West Virginia. And I learned a lot from that event simply by the fact that there are federal incentives that enable businesses that have a minority origin or some type of historical thing that offers them really opportunity to stand up and integrate into the fabric of our ecosystems, essentially. And it was really cool to kind of see the perspective that they were coming from. And it's not so much like, hey, we want to beat our chest and be like, we're minority business. It's like, no, like, we really need to take advantage of the services and opportunities that are available to us because we're trying to basically build up the economy. It was a really interesting perspective, and I wasn't expecting that.
But are you hiring these people to work for you because you're getting incentive or because they're qualified to do the job? That's my question.
That's legitimate, but I think the biggest takeaway from the conversation was that most people lack the incentive to try. That, at least in those, this was, again, primarily a black conversation and talking about the black community, and there's just this overarching cultural perspective that, well, those opportunities aren't there. But then here we are in this room full of people that are making it happen. Like, no, the opportunity is there. We just need to tell people what they are. I just found it really interesting.
I totally get what you're saying. Yeah. But on the flip side of it, you're basically saying we're only doing this because of their color.
Right.
So let's stop doing that. Morgan Freeman said it best. How do we get rid of racism? Stop talking about race.
Stop talking about it.
Go to England, just, man.
If you're qualified, you're qualified. I don't care what color you are. You know, you're qualified. And just get qualified. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Go, I always use this example. I have a friend that I grew up with, a very poor household, broken family. This person made straight A's from the day he started school because he knew he wanted a different life. And his mother actually said, you're going to make something from your life that I wasn't able to do for you. Now this person is a nurse anesthetist, making probably $180,000 a year, and it came from nothing. But he worked his butt off, got grades, and he even got an Oxford University scholarship to go to England for a whole summer. He worked his butt off. He came from nothing, and now he's something. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, absolutely.
And so it doesn't matter. Of course he's white. Somebody will say, oh, it's because he's white. It had nothing to do with his color. It was his choices. You can do whatever you want to in America if you make choices. Now, is your education going to be paid for by your mom and dad all the time? No, maybe not. But there are grants, there are loans, and of course now Joe Biden, another $7.4 billion of loan forgiveness for
how do you feel
for women's studies and underwater basket weaving.
That's always studies. A great class to take.
So are we?
So the question is that's, and I think all of these are some reasons why should Christians get involved in politics? And it's always, we should always be aware.
We veered off of that a little bit.
No, well, it's giving us personal reasons about why we need to be involved. Because if Christians are not involved in politics, and see, here's the problem with conservatives. Conservatives just, we like to be left alone. We want to do our own thing. We don't want the government to be involved. So when we're not involved or we're not getting engaged, they're talking sign language here. We don't have a voice or a reason to say what the kingdom of God needs, mm-hmm. right? So I heard it was interesting, and I think I'm going to start using it. You guys, hey, what are you, Democrat, Republican? I'm a Republican-ish, but I'm also a child of God. And when the government and when society starts going against the kingdom of God, that's the problem. Is we should be voting and we should be acting and engaging to what reflects his kingdom, mm-hmm. right? Regardless of how mommy and daddy grew up and what papa was back in the 50s and 60s, is what does God want us to do now? And it's we talked about what they did on Easter, which the president said he never did because obviously he didn't. He didn't know what was going on. Somebody else wrote it. No joke here. I never did that.
No joke.
And then no joke. They use the stamped Sunday signature, so he had no idea what's going on, which leads me to believe that there's this evil movement behind just trying to push in as much as they can.
Well, I got thoughts on that, too. Did you hear, like, the next day, one of the archbishops said that he's a cafeteria Catholic, and so he chooses what he wants
to that believe Biden in his is?
Yeah. So that's why Biden said, I didn't agree to this, but...
Yep.
You know, it is what it is.
But go back to gay marriage, for example. I think we had a lot of old white Republicans that genuinely didn't like these people. So instead of, I have no issues with civil union personally because that's your life. I don't agree with your lifestyle. But if you have made that commitment to, and that's weird to say, to someone, why are we denying you tax breaks and tax credits? So because we had a lot of these old people that were just so opposed to that lifestyle, they just shut it down completely. So then what does the other side do? They come in and take a holy, sanctified movement like marriage, right? That's a religious thing. The first marriage was with Adam and Eve. But because we didn't want to give them any freedoms under the Constitution, which I think they should be entitled to, they go in. It's like, okay, well, if we don't get this, now we're taking your marriage. That's ours now. And it's another.
I'm smelling libertarian come off of you.
I don't know what that means, but all right. No, maybe a little bit. But it's.
I agree with the sentiment. So. You asked the question, when should we get engaged? And there was a cultural revolution took place in the 60s, and it was a function of people, our grandparents' generation, basically saying, don't talk about religion or politics. Well, now we're in this vacuum where the people that have been running the country for the last 40 years have just been running rampant and doing whatever they wanted to do because nobody wanted to talk about it. We don't talk about offensive topics. We don't talk about the things that are questionable. We don't talk about that type of stuff. I have a tendency to lean libertarian and the idea that, hey, the Constitution's for everybody. I am conservative, don't get me wrong. Like, Christianity is my faith, but then there's also this concept that you can't legislate your faith. Then it becomes legalism. Yeah. So we can't basically take in a whatever society you want to call us, you can't say these are a bunch of rules you have to follow and then stop everybody, because then you're just creating more rebellion on the other side, even though it's coming from the heart, from where we are. But we were all converted in our own way. We all came to know Christ through, honestly, election, if you guys want to go down that pathway. But the reality is that we need our faith to support our politics, but we must be involved, and we must be that voice of reason consistently engaged in politics, or else we get to the point where we're at now.
Yeah.
You can still have an open, free society where, hey, go do you, whatever that is. And then that enables me to be able to go do me. Don't force your crap down my throat, which I think we've seen too much of. Our politics are forcing too much crap down throats of people.
Well, it's the same thing as anything that I believe in. The same, you cannot legislate salvation.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
You cannot legislate the Holy Spirit and any religious life onto someone, right? But we as people have to be able to vote and reflect the kingdom of God. We have to bring it back to His. And that's why it's so hard for me. This is, you'll use your famous line here in a minute, I'm sure. But there are so many issues at stake. How can you not be involved? Especially, this is the reason we homeschool and now going to try out some private school, is they could pick a book in a library and it's pornography. Mm-hmm. And they're being exposed to that because, oh, well, they need access and they need to be able to fully express who they are. You don't have the right, as I don't have the right to force my beliefs and religion onto anyone. You don't have the right to force anything back on me. We this country so overcorrects itself, it's ridiculous.
Our politics are far too much based on social policy, and we make political decisions based on social policy.
Nowadays,
yeah.
Our politics were founded on our faith. Our political setup was formed from the Bible. Our Constitution was formed from the Bible. So that's where our faith influenced our politics, and that's how our politics should be faith-based, as how we should be voting.
Well, I was even getting more along the lines of, like, we make a decision in this country, especially with federal politics, for whatever reason, based off of somebody's stance on social issues. And what that does is it gets in the way of us actually bringing competent people on board that know how to solve the engineering problems, or that know how to solve people and organization problems, because we hire somebody who's getting voted in based off of their stance on abortion or homosexuality.
Oh, yeah.
And instead of us actually talking about real issues, we talk about issues that have been on the line for 50 years and nothing ever changes by it. So now we found where we're screwed up on so many different levels. And our politicians aren't even talking about those things on a daily basis because they're trying to manage the actual infrastructure of the country.
If we just go back to what we were founded upon, and when we had Craig on here, we were talking about the Constitution. Why is it a badge of honor for a senator or a governor or a congressman? I introduced 50 bills this year. Why do we have to introduce so many bills?
We don't have to introduce anything.
It would be great if we went through a whole year without introducing any more law.
Yes.
Let's go back to the original Ten Commandments that encompasses everything. You know, those are based out of everyone has rights. Everyone should be able to stay alive, and everybody should not have their stuff stolen. Everybody should not covet, you know, what other people have. It's pretty simple to just go back to the root,
our
biblical constitution law. Is how our country is formed.
So, you know, you're talking about states introducing laws and things like that that just doesn't seem like you should have to. Serena and I were talking about the Holocaust, and the state of West Virginia introduced a law that makes it that requires schools to teach the Holocaust.
I thought, did they get away from that?
They have.
So I remember learning about that in school.
There is a massive push globally that the Holocaust never happened.
Do you know why? Because exactly what's happening now is what Hitler did to Nazi Germany.
Exactly. But like, so that's the, there was a generation of GIs that went through and cleared these camps, whether it's American GIs, service individuals from Great Britain and Russia, all went through and cleared these camps. That generation of folks who were eyewitnesses to this are gone. So the deception's easily like slipped in, mm-hmm. that the Holocaust didn't happen. Iran is pushing us like crazy, but they were also among the folks that were working with Hitler to start these. But the fact that it's 2024, and I'm happy the state of West Virginia passed a law saying that that this has to be taught in schools.
But saddened at the same time.
Sad that you have to pass a law to teach about the genocide of an entire race of people.
I follow politics pretty closely the last couple of years, just with passing the 50-50 bill and trying to understand how politics work, especially at the state level. One, state level politics are far more important than federal level politics all day long. So if you want to get involved at the state level. Two, when you read through our laws, the majority of them are written to incentivize one group over another. Whether you're talking about oil and gas laws that are affect this state, or whether you're talking about what happened in a family court system, the way the laws are written are not equal. They're not just. They're not fair. It's because some special interest group and whatever party was in power at the time decided to muscle through and pass some bullcrap policy to incentivize something else. And to get that redacted takes... Sorry. Literally an act of Congress.
It's called pork bellies, man.
It's stupid, but it kills us. It kills our society, and then we end up having this. We're left versus right. Like, see, it's insane.
That's the thing, and I've noticed this a lot. It's on our comments on our some of our social media platforms. Is where is the backbone of the Christians? Right, there is a lot of, and rightfully so. This is a free country. You can comment whatever you want on anything. On our sites, we just want you to be respectful of other people. You can comment anything. The negative comments that come out, let me rephrase that. There's a lot of good comments, positive things on there. But the ones that are negative, they attack, right? Where are the Christians to stand up for what's right and to defend? It's like, well, we don't want to get involved, okay? This reminds me, we talked about this yesterday in the book of Joshua chapter 5, where the angel of the Lord comes down and meets Joshua. Joshua asked, whose side are you on? Are you for us or are you for our adversary? And the angel replied, neither. Right? I'm not on your side. I'm not on their side. I'm on the Lord's side. And what you do, in other words, is what he said, I'm kind of adding into this now, is what it depends on what you do is whose side I'm on. If you're for the kingdom of God, I'm with you. If you're not, I'm not. Heaven is not going to be divided in sections. There's not going to be a Republican side and a Democratic side. It's going to be Christians. It's going to be everybody who caught up on the name of the Lord. And we need to do our best to reflect that now, right? And when I go to the voting block or go to vote, what side, what candidate, what issue most reflects the kingdom of God? I cannot, as a Christian in good faith, vote for somebody who does not respect life. And don't, well, the scientists say this and the scientists say life begins. No. You can go to Princeton.
Dude, the issue.
Princeton's website, they tell you, here it is, says that life begins at the moment the cell and the egg meet. Science is saying that, but our feels tell us, I use your word, or is telling us, well, this is life begins when I choose it to begin. How arrogant are we as a people to decide when life begins, when God's already determined that?
Because they want to suit what they believe, because science was science during the COVID vaccination,
mm-hmm.
but science is not science when it comes to when life is formed.
The issue of abortion is a selfish issue. Yeah, period. 100%. I don't want the inconvenience of having a child to get in the way of my life. And that's all it is. So for all you people out there that are promoting abortion, You're a selfish person. The fact that you want to take life, you have the choice to not have sex. You know what happens when you have sex. Babies come.
Lip tart.
You can have sex 3 weeks out of the month and not get pregnant.
Correct. So the fact that learn people want to turn this into some type of politicized issue, it's murder.
Like, lip tart.
There's just, and it's not even worth discussing.
Have you guys seen the guy on Instagram where he's sitting? He's always sitting eating, and he goes, "So let me get this straight. Blah blah blah, and then it just takes a bite. So it's always a political thing.
Mm-hmm.
So this is one about abortion. He says, "So if a dad doesn't want to take care of his children, he's a deadbeat dad. But if a woman does want to take care of her children, is pro-choice." Okay, I get it.
Yeah, my body, my choice.
Isn't that strange? Yeah. If a dad says, "I don't want to take care of my kids," he slaps the child support. He's a deadbeat dad. But a woman that is pro-choice says, "I don't want to have kids to take care of," go kill it.
See, and there, the counter to that is, well, if the right or the Republicans love life so much, then why ain't they doing what they can to take care of kids now?
Did you say why ain't they?
Why ain't they? That's Southern, buddy.
That's
man
county.
Well,
yeah, that is an interesting discussion.
Well, and
I'm curious.
I can say locally, though, before we derail into something else, our church does an amazing job. An amazing job of taking care of foster kids and foster families as support.
And supporting people that have had abortions or are thinking about having an abortion. We have literature on that, and we help.
But strong churches need to stand up and fill in the gap. That's what we are called to,
mm-hmm.
right? We take care of the widows and the orphans. We take care of the downtrodden. We treat people like Jesus did. And does every community do that? Does every church take care of that? No, they don't. There is don't kill the kid, but we're not really going to help the kids that are here that need help, and that is evil, in my opinion.
I would say that the function of the church is to offset the impact of the social issues.
Mm-hmm.
So if we would handle the social issues within the infrastructure of the church rather than a political system, then a lot of these problems would be dilapidated. But the church itself isn't as active as it needs to be. And we as a country depend too much on the country to provide, or our political policies to provide solutions, whenever we as the church historically have been the entity that's holding up the social policies and norms and in ensuring that the widows are taken care of, that the homeless have a place to go to, that food is provided for those, that foster children have a home to go to. Like, that's something that there's 6,000 foster kids in this state. And if our churches actually did what we have been called to do through Christ, there would not be a single foster child in the state, because I would argue that of our population, there's a good 50% that goes to church on a regular basis. Maybe not quite that much, 35%.
See,
hold on a minute. If we go back to the actual church, you know, standing up for this,
mm-hmm.
there's the actual demographic, the evangelistic vote or something like that during elections. They always talk about who's going to get the evangelist vote. Who's going to get, you know,
the evangelical.
Evangelical. That's what I was trying to say. But who is the church now? How are they identifying, really? I mean, I know there's people in our church that, you know, don't necessarily line up with voting the same way that probably all of us in this room vote. You know what I mean? So what I'm getting at is, if you're going to have the evangelical, they've got to know the truth as it is written in this Bible. They need to stand up and vote the right way. And when I say the right way, I do mean correct, but also, I mean, you have to vote for the right Republican stance, because our Democrats and Republicans, bad and good, I think there's bad and good in both of them.
Yep.
So I don't identify with Democrat or Republican Party. I identify as I stand for God. So if the real evangelical people would stand up and say, "I'm voting for righteousness," it would take care of this, because we would get people in office that would take care of these social issues the right way. And I agree with going back to what you were saying about the homosexual lifestyle. They're still Americans. They're still human beings. They have rights in America. If they want to rent an apartment together, fine. They should be able to rent an apartment. If they want to do this, fine. Civil union. It's not our job to legislate sin. It's not, it's not our job. We just go back to the original Constitution. It benefits everyone as a whole, not certain interest groups.
Yep.
And so my famous line is, if you're the evangelical voter, you cannot call yourself a Christian and a Jesus follower and vote Democrat this day and age. You cannot. Maybe 30 years ago, mm-hmm. you could have, because it was maybe a, you know,
There were policy differences. Policy difference. Not
my mind's blanking.
Well, there's throughout the U.S. history, the political landscape has shifted. Mm-hmm. You know, when JFK was president, he would probably still be a registered Democrat in office today, but his values were not that of the Democrat Party.
Absolutely.
Joe Biden, the Joe Biden we know now, is not the Joe Biden of the past.
4 years ago.
And Joe Biden years ago was very pro-American, and he had a D next to his name, kind of in the same way that Justice had a D next to his name was to get elected.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Justice is not a traditional Democrat. The reason why, as soon as he got elected, he became a Republican. But the Republicans of the 1950s, 1940s, and in the 1960s would have been considered Democrats today with their views. And you get JFK, who was very pro-American, very small government, a lot of things that he did. FDR, on the other hand, yeah, he was very large government. Some will argue that he had to be large government because of the Depression. Mm-hmm. More so the Depression than the war. Mm-hmm. And then the war ultimately made him a little bit more of a conservative president. But you look back, Abraham Lincoln was, I think, if I remember correctly, the first Republican to have been elected in office. And the Civil War was a war of multiple items, one of which is states' rights, the other was slavery. And ultimately, through the Civil War, he abolished slavery, but his predecessor, the person after him, he was much more whatever we got to do and let's get the country back on track and let's let slavery kind of go back into happen again. But the landscape changes, and what we consider Republican today in 20 years from now may not be. And you get presidents in like Trump, who kind of brought it back to the more Reagan style conservative mm-hmm. politics. But who knows in the next 8 years what the next Republican candidate is going to be. That has shifted so far left. The other thing I wanted to point out is we were talking about whether or not Christians should be involved in politics. There's a speaker, and his name's Lance Wallnew. He's a Christian and so is heavily involved you in left. Politics and heavily involved in media. And his big thing right now that he is teaching on and really going around the country is it's called Seven Mountains. And he's saying that there's seven mountains that Christians should be involved in. He's got a Jewish background. I think his background is actually from the tribe of Levi. So he's a Levitical priest background, and his heritage goes back to the original priesthood. And he said that the Jews get involved in politics. They get involved in media. They get involved in all these different areas, and Christians typically don't. It's hands off, just the purpose of this conversation today. But the seven mountains are media, entertainment, government, education, economy, religion, celebration, and family. And those are the areas that all Christians should somewhere, shape, or form be involved in to help shape the landscape. Because we can't be divided based on Republican or Democrat, because both of them are wrong. I spent time in politics, in political consulting arenas, and there's the only difference between a Republican and Democrat in the vast scale. I mean, there are some exceptions to that on both sides. Mm-hmm. Is the letter beside their name? At the end of the day, they all vote the same way. They do whatever they want once they're in office, but their goal is to get into office and get into power.
And stay there.
So they have to say whatever they're going to say to their donor, to their base, to be able to generate money. That's what made Trump such a threat to the establishment, was he didn't care.
Right.
He put an R next to his name because that basically was the best party to identify with where his values and his views. But he didn't care whether it was Republican or Democrat. He had his own values. He had his own views. There was a lot of things Trump was much more liberal on than a lot of us really would like to admit, but he was so much more conservative in the areas that we needed him to be from a Christian perspective, thus moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. Massive, massive deal from so many different aspects.
Right.
The selection of justices on the board that has made lifetime changes, things that we never thought would happen have happened. In that, giving the rights to abortion back to the states, which is where it needs to be in the first place. Gun control needs to be within the states, because what happens, what we need in the state of West Virginia, that's a much more rural community, and our outlook on firearms is so much different than in Baltimore or in D.C. or in New York City, because we don't have access to police within 30 seconds of when we need it. We have to defend ourselves. But you get in these major metros and they're scared of it because they see gun violence from gangs and in different areas like that, that they tend to be fearful of guns, because there's always a cop within 30 seconds of where they're at. But I'm in Preston County, and there may be 5 or 6 deputy sheriffs on staff at any given point, and that county is an hour and a half long. Mm-hmm. And if they happen to be dealing with a problem in the southern end of the county to get to the northern end of the county, when you call for help, they're not going to get there in time. And it's not because they don't want to. They just physically can't unless we get them spaceships or helicopters.
Even at the fundamental level, though, having the ability to govern ourselves is what makes our country great. For us to, like, even in Berwickville versus Fairmont, man, Fairmont is the larger entity. It doesn't tell us what to do at Berwickville. We get the right to say, no, this is what we, the people of this municipality, have come together, and this is what we want. Like, that's the beauty of this country. If you want to go somewhere, buy some land, and build a city and develop your own policies, and get you some, go for it. That's the beauty of this. And nobody's going to tell you you can't do that. And for us to develop politics that prevent somebody from doing that, I think is going to cause us to fail. And that's where we are. We have people that are sitting in their ivory towers telling us what we can and cannot do. And it just, that's not how this country works. But we must be involved to have that Christian influence. We must be involved at all those levels. If you're a Christian and you are an educator, why aren't you running for the leadership roles on the Board of Education? Mm-hmm. My brother and I actually have had an interesting conversation. He owns some properties in the town we grew up in. And with his energetic faith right now, he's like, man, should I just sell everything? I'm like, no, dude, you need to keep what you're doing. Like, he's a banker as well. I'm like, now you're a Christian, and Christians need to be integrated at the banking level. He's got some tenants that are homosexuals, and he's worried, like, you know, is he catering to that? I'm like, no, dude. Like, the fact that you are an influence, you are a Christian influence now on the purview of those people's lives, that's exactly what you're supposed to do. We as Christians are supposed to be integrating into every piece of society so that the reflection of Christ can be more prevalent than it is now. Right now, the image of Christ is being stunted because of all the voices out there, and people aren't seeing him as prevalently because we as Christians have stepped back and decided, well, I'm just going to be meek and quiet and go hide in my hole. Like, no, we are called to stand up and represent and boldly proclaim the name of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's we talked about this yesterday, Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And when you told me about what the Geneva Bible says, mm-hmm. I went in and I looked up what is a principality? Well, it's the beginning or it's an origin, the person or the thing that commences the first person in a series, the leader, a leader of government or society. We have to, as Christians, vote with the reflection of the kingdom to the person that best represents the kingdom of God. And it starts at the local level. We keep talking about, and I get hung up on national politics. I mean, especially the closer to election season it gets, it's like, what's going to happen? But mm-hmm. where our lives matter or are affected the most is local politics.
Yep.
Who are our judges? Who are our attorneys? Who are our mayors?
Who are the people governing us?
We need to go in and actually do some more research on that than we do the national stuff. That's going to play out how it plays out. But
absolutely.
If I need to, in family courts, right, hitting home for you, is are they going to reflect the kingdom of God and the Constitution?
Here's a funny thing with that, man, is the woman who's sitting on family court here in Marion County proclaims to be a Christian. And the way that she ruled was anti-Christian at best. And it's just frustrating to me because we don't even know who we're voting for. We drive down the streets right now, and it's a dude's name on a billboard, and you know nothing else. If you want to find anything out about the guy, you legit have to spend a significant amount of time doing research. We don't have the resumes. We don't know anything about them. What we did with Craig a few weeks ago was awesome. That's probably the most in-depth understanding of any political candidate I think we've ever seen. It was a non-combative environment where the guy was just talking about what he stood for. We don't give our politicians a platform or a place to do that. And really, we don't know who we're voting for. And more to your point, I would argue that if you were a Christian and you're not pursuing some type of leadership and in the fields that you're working in, then you're not doing your job. Mm. We as Christians must be standing up. We were just talking about something you're looking at getting into. Like, it's upon us to lead the people that are in this nation. And I think that's what we're lacking is a strong moral Christian foundation, because our leaders are not strong moral Christians.
Well, part of who God is what he commands us to do, the laws and the rules that he sets. What did he tell Adam and Eve? God gave dominion in the garden for Adam and Eve to rule the world and to subdue it, to lead it, to guide it, to cultivate it. And as long as we submit and humble ourselves to his authority and follow his design for what he wants us to do, and we roll with the kingdom aspect in mind, if we don't lead and we don't step up and we don't make those decisions, to your point, we're in the wrong because we're deciding not to act.
Yes.
So if you make a choice or you don't make a choice, you've made a choice, right? You cannot just stand in the middle and let the chips fall where they lie. Mm-hmm. We have to be actively progressing the kingdom of God.
We could probably end with the interpretation from the Geneva Bible of Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the worldly governors, the princes of the darkness of this world. So their interpretation, this Bible was written before the King James Version. And so their interpretation is we're wrestling against the worldly governors, for they are the princes of darkness. So we need to, as Christians, stand up, get involved. This verse right here is telling us politically, we have to insert ourselves either physically or interceding spiritually against these worldly governors trying to push their worldly views in. I forget which verse it is, but we are to live in the world, but not of the world. So of the world means you're allowing sin, you know, being worldly is allowing sin. So we need to fight spiritually against the worldly governors and vote in what lines up best with the Bible. And right now, with the term we know, the Republican Party lines up most morally with the Bible.
And not that they're perfect, but they are the closer side.
They are the closest side. They embrace life. They embrace liberty. They embrace protection of our families and ourselves. That's the side that we believe on morally.
Yeah,
that should be the standard.
So I want to comment to something that in the world but not of the world. It's a concept that summarizes some scripture, and John 15 talks about it. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. This is Christ speaking. If you were of the world would love you as its own. Mm-hmm. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. So we have to live our lives in this world. But while we're doing this, we must be reflecting the image of the living God.
Amen.
Yeah, I don't know why I keep thinking of this. You can't just sit out and not vote the same that you can't just sit on a pew and not serve. Every one of us were called out of this world, and we're given a talent, created with a talent in mind to be used. And if you're not voting, you're not getting involved in your community, and you're especially not getting involved in your church.
That's a
what are you doing? Like, stop playing. Like, we get one shot at this life before we go into eternity, regardless if you believe that or not. We all know we get one shot at this. Do something.
We should close with that Eminem song.
I got one. Yeah.
So I want to come on that. I know you want to close up, but dude, I was in Iraq and I was freaking pulling security because people were risking their lives to go vote. You don't do that in this country. People die around this world to vote.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about in this country. When we have an election, people aren't dying. Every other country in the world, when elections come up, people die.
No, but the dead do vote in this country. Just so. All right, Nick, bring us home.
This is your first time checking us out. If you're listening to us, be sure and check out our YouTube channel to see us in person. Make sure you visit our website to learn more about each and every one of us. It's mkdudetalk.com. If I'm stumbling there, huh?
You guys make it so much worse when you comment about it.
What is that?
I don't know.
If you'd like to get in contact with us, make sure you check out our email at mkdudetalk@gmail.com. So for the yes man, Jared, for MK, always absent, Andy.
Okay.
For the coach, Ryan, we're so happy to have him back today. Of course, our host, Josh. We're looking at a little different camera here. We lost camera three during halfway through, so... the host, Josh. I am O2D2. Nick, this has been...
I love it, O2D2.
Yeah. This has been Mountaineer Kingdom Dude Talk, real men, manly talk.